Welcome to Our Life in Transition. Listener discretion is advised. This podcast deals with issues about LGBT families and trans-specific topics. We would love to hear from you and welcome your questions and comments. However, we will not tolerate any discriminatory language or hate speech. So please, just don't do it. Enjoy the show.
You know, when people ask this question, like, if they're like, I'm going to be the manager, I'm like, fuck you are, I'm the manager.
Yeah.
I don't want you in here if you're if you're planning on sabotaging me and taking my job.
Did you just threaten me? You're fired.
When we were kids, we met at camp.
After college, we got married.
10 years later, we finally had a baby.
That same year, I came out as trans.
This is the story of our journey.
Through marriage.
Parenting.
Gender.
And all the changes that life brings.
This is
Our Life in Transition.
That came in weird. Yeah, no, I can't.
That is so weird.
I don't.
Why does a paper straw make soda foam?
I don't know, but I hate it. See, I was trying to be good. I try to do a good thing so I don't slurp on the podcast. I'll use a straw.
You're going to have to slurp.
Try to save the environment, not use a plastic straw, but no. I can't do that.
Probably if you took it out of the can, if you had it in a glass.
Yeah, but knowing myself, I'm going to spill it on the desk or something, and then it's going to be a big crash, and there's going to be soda on the microphone, and it's just better not to. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
My name is Shannon.
And I'm Rachel.
And this is another delightful episode of
Our Life in Transition.
I knew my name this week.
That's so good. Yeah. I'm so glad you weren't trying to impersonate me.
That was weird last week. I cut that part out. They don't know. They don't even know what happened. I don't. Or is that puberty again? They have no idea what even happened.
Oh no, you got your blood drawn. Did your estrogen go?
I don't know.
They suck all my estrogen out.
Sons of bitches. No, but I'm good. I stopped bleeding.
You barely have a hole.
Mm-hmm.
Were they good?
Yeah. Oh. I heal up nicely. Hmm. I had the full service. The woman who checked me in also came back and drew my blood.
Oh, they're shorthanded too, like everybody else.
But, so anyway.
They need to do what we're doing.
A podcast?
An interview.
Oh, an interview? Oh, yes. Yeah. So, okay. This is a different one. How did you come up with this? This is interesting.
I'm an interviewing hell. We're hiring employees at work.
It just came out of my nose.
See, if you had a straw, it wouldn't happen. We're interviewing employees at work. And, you know, we got on the topic. I was talking with one of my managers, and we got on the topic of, like, the ridiculous existential questions that, you know, people ask in interviews, like, where do you see yourself in 10 years or whatever, and that kind of stuff. And so I thought, well, because nobody ever tells the truth with that stuff, you know. Nobody applies for a job at, like, Bob's Dollar Discount and was like, in 10 years I want to be exactly here standing behind this register, I'm never leaving. Like, but that's what they say to get the job, because they want a job.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so nobody's ever truthful in them. I don't know why we even bother with them, because you know you're not going to get a good answer. I think it's more just because interviewers are always, like, just as nervous as the interviewee. So I think it's, like, a way of, like, throwing the interviewee off.
That's the best advice that I ever got. It wasn't even advice. Just when I was younger.
Just a little tidbit.
Yeah, somebody who had interviewed me for an internship I had in college, at some point we were at like a social thing, and she was like, oh, I have an interview today. I hate interviews. I'm always nervous. I'm like, what do you mean you're always nervous? You're doing the interview. She's like, no, I'm always nervous. I'm like, were you nervous when you interviewed me? Yeah. I'm like, really? So now every time I go into an interview, I'm like, no, you're nervous. I'm fine. You're nervous. It doesn't always work, but usually it does.
When was the last time you went for an interview?
Shut up, Rachel.
No, but this is good practice.
Yeah. That's what this is all about, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. See, here's the thing. When I was a manager, though, like, they had these existential questions. They're like, here's the suggested questions. And sometimes I would ask them just to gauge some stuff from people. So I'd be like, you know, where do you see yourself here going in this company? Like, instead of like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I'd be a little more specific to gauge whether they were like, oh, I'm just going to be here for like 6 months and I got to bounce. Or like, why did you choose here versus somewhere else? And the one,
because you guys were advertising for a position.
And that's the answer that I always really wanted. If somebody said, because you were hiring and you called back and I need money. Thank you. All right. You're hired.
Yeah. Got a straight shooter.
You're honest. And that's what I want from you.
Yeah.
But yeah. A lot of people don't like that. But anyway.
So today we're going to interview each other.
Yeah.
And so, then at the end, I'm going to decide whether I'm going to hire Shannon.
So are we doing like each question back and forth, or are we going to go through the whole list and then switch?
I think we could do each question and have a little discussion about it.
Okay, sure.
We probably should have discussed that before we started recording.
Probably. I mean,
look at you people. You get the behind the scenes.
Ooh, content. So, do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I want to chew my banana bread.
Well, that's not conducive to either asking or answering a question, Rachel. How was your banana bread, by the way?
Delightful. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I've only been asking a week.
They were finally ripe.
They've been ripe for 3 days.
They were really ripe, so, like, perfect banana bread. You're welcome.
Yeah, my nose is itchy. Doesn't that mean we're going to fight?
Please don't.
Ooh, this is going to be a good podcast.
Damn it. Don't make me have to scrap another podcast. We did that one time. Let's not repeat. Okay.
Okay, Shannon.
Yeah.
Well, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
The way things are going, in a cardboard box. I don't know.
It's good to have a plan.
Yeah. That's a good question.
I mean, managing expectations, that's...
See, here's the thing.
See, some people say reach for a goal. You know, to set a higher goal. But no, not you. Mm-mm. It's like bare minimum.
Yeah.
I don't want to be disappointed. I know where I'm going to be.
Just.
And anything better than that is good.
Getting by in a realistic fashion. That's a good question. Because 5 years ago, I didn't anticipate being here. So, I don't know. Ideally, doing something which brings in income in a way that is not... mind-numbing and inducing me to jump off of a bridge, and being in a position enough to perhaps travel a little bit.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Get some more life experience.
Mm. What about 10 years?
10 years, we're both going to be dealing with a teenager and crying.
Yes, well. Yeah.
So, you know, that's the plan that I've got so far. It's very minimal. So I don't know. I'm starting over right now, so who knows where I'm going to be? Who knows what I'm going to be doing?
Not in my house.
There's that.
You know that. That's definitely going to happen. If you're not out in 5 years, you know.
If you're scuttling around in the attic, it's probably me.
I wouldn't. It's gross up there.
Yeah, no, I don't know if... Is that asbestos up there? I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe I'll be there in 5 years, and 10 years, I'll be gone. So
you'll be in a mesothelioma commercial.
Those are the best commercials. I love those. Rachel, let me ask you, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
The funny farm? No, 5 years, what, 2026? Mm-hmm. Probably exactly where I am. I mean, I've given up on my dreams.
I'm sorry. That's bleak. I'm sorry.
No, but I mean, I'm kind of at the top of where I can go in my job, unless I were to buy the stores, and I don't have that kind of capital, and will not amass that kind of capital in the next 5 years. So I'm kind of at the top of my game as far as that goes, unless I go into the more corporate level and leave the stores, which I don't want to do because I feel like that is soul-sucking.
Yes. It sounds it from everything you've ever told me.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, if I'm going to do that, I might as well just, like, bang my head very hard against concrete block until I die, and that's pretty much the same thing.
Ah, capitalism.
And so, no, but I mean, you know, Munchkin will be in school.
Yeah. She's going to be in school in, like, it's a little over a year.
A year, yeah. Yeah.
No, my baby.
But, you know, but I'm not really a PTA kind of mom, mm-hmm. so that ain't going to happen.
I could be on the PTA.
Good way to kill the PTA. Yeah. Everybody else would flee.
Exactly.
Yeah, so no, you know, but I'm, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm content with where I am. I mean, ideally I'd like to have some more free time, and I think as she gets a little older, I'll have some time to pursue my hobbies and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm probably at the point now where I could probably start doing more needlework, you know, because she doesn't need to be on my lap 24/7, although she still wants to be.
I mean, need is a strong word.
She still wants to be. Yeah. She still wants to know what I'm doing every 5 minutes. But
what are you doing? Okay, here's an explanation. What are you doing? Here's the explanation again. What are you doing? Nothing, apparently. Answering questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what about in 10 years?
Well, having a teenage daughter. So probably, you know, when I'm not working, curled up in the fetal position. And just, you know, kind of trying to get by.
That's just the summary for everybody's answer to this. I'm just trying to get by. Just trying to get
pretty
by.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, that's pretty much.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And it's okay. Yeah. It's okay if you're just trying to survive. Sometimes, you know, when people ask this question, like if they're like, I'm going to be the manager, I'm like, fuck you are. I'm the manager.
Yeah.
I don't want you in here if you're planning on sabotaging me and taking my job.
Did you just threaten me? You're fired.
Actually, I wasn't hired yet, ma'am.
See? See? Look what you've done to yourself.
And yet, here we are. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question. Mm-hmm. What is your greatest strength?
Well, seeing as HRT has except any actual physical strength I have. I guess my greatest internal strength. Probably my convictions. I'm very strong-willed when I have a stance on something, especially a moral stance. And therefore I will... You're giving me side eye. And therefore, I will fight for the things that I believe in forever.
Like a dog with a bone, people?
Mm-hmm. Chomp, chomp.
Okay.
Short and sweet, that's it.
Okay.
I'm convicted. I mean, that's one way to get out of the cardboard box.
Don't call me for bail.
I won't. What's your greatest strength?
I think my greatest strength is other people would perceive as a weakness. I'm a nurturer. I am a person who takes care of people. That's, I mean, I am like my store's mother, sister, aunt, you know, I take care of my employees. I take care of you. I take care of my family, you know, that's what I do.
You are the mom friend.
I'm not the mom friend. I just cross over into the mom.
I'm everyone's mom.
And I, you know, I see myself as somebody who's very, like, I like to mentor people. I like to guide people, you know.
Yeah.
Like that.
I can see that. Yeah. That is true.
Okay, so what is your greatest weakness?
My convictions. But, I mean, that's one of them. Probably, although I'm getting better about it. As it turns out, part of it was that I just felt awkward all the time. But I'm very shy. I am a very shy person. And, if, especially like in group settings where I haven't gotten my footing yet, I'm very shy to start with. Once I get comfortable though,
forget it.
It's over. Yeah. I won't shut up. Then my convictions come out again.
And you're like, can we get the shy person back?
Yeah, no. Oops, you made me comfortable. Now you're stuck with me. You showed me human kindness.
Never make that mistake. I shall follow you right home.
I got no place else to go, so.
It's like if you look like you look at a stray dog.
There's a theme of referring to me as like a dog. Dog with a bone, follow you home like a stray dog.
Let's see if it continues.
Damn it.
I mean, I would say that. Mm-hmm. I would also say one of your weaknesses is your indecisiveness. And like,
that's true.
Not that you can't make a decision, but that you like mull things over for like ever and ever and ever and beat it to death.
Yeah. I'm like an
before
ant.
Before you make a decision.
Yeah.
That's.
I'm like an ant trying to figure out what to say.
Hmm.
This is true.
We usually don't come up with anything quite as profound.
Damn, lady. Which is too profound for you. Fine.
I'm just going to drink my coffee and let you, you know, mull that over.
Move along. Ask the next question, Rachel. Did I not ask the question of you? I skipped. Sorry.
You don't care.
You got me mulling and I got distracted.
That's your other weakness. You're flighty and distracted.
I don't know. Maybe I have ADHD, but part of it's a spiral. I'm all over the damn place. It's bad.
What about before the spiral?
It's probably ADHD. I don't know. Okay. Well, what's your greatest weakness?
I have no weaknesses.
All right, moving on. That's the next question.
Just kidding. I'm a control freak. I like to make sure everything is done properly. I like to do things. I want things done the way I want them done. And so usually I end up doing them myself. Which usually means I get overworked, which usually means I have a mental breakdown.
That's fun.
Yeah, I'm a control freak.
It kind of goes hand in hand with the nurturing thing, though.
Yeah, but you know what else sucks is when you're trying to, like, control somebody who's uncontrollable.
Like me.
Yeah.
Like a wild dog.
You said it this time. No, I wasn't going to say that, but I mean, you know.
I'm independent.
You have convictions.
Yes.
No, I mean, and I would also say that probably you are my weakness.
Aww.
Because I put up with a lot more.
That's sweet.
No, it's because I put up with a lot more from you than I should because of my nurturing personality.
Mm. Sorry. Love you.
Mm. Anyway.
But, you know, it it does go hand in hand because on the one hand, like, your impulse is to be very nurturing. And therefore, being that you are nurturing, you are trying to do things in the way that you think is best. And you're like, no, damn it, I'm nurturing. Just let me do what I'm doing. Don't interfere with what I'm doing. I'm nurturing you, damn it.
Right. And also, in nurturing other people, I care about them enough that I don't make them do... I don't delegate responsibilities to them because, you know, I don't want to inconvenience anybody.
Yeah. No, I got you. That is accurate.
If you could be anything, what would you be?
That's a good question. Is it like a job or just...
Yes, anything, whatever. Doesn't have to be a job. If you want to say I wouldn't be a giraffe, that's, you know.
No, I've got enough people talking about attack helicopters. I don't need to give them any red meat. You know, ideally, I just want to be like a chill artsy person that like also is advocating for stuff. Like that's kind of like what ideally what I would like to do.
Jane Fonda?
I mean, if I could be Jane Fonda, that's a good model to go after. But no, like
I mean, I think you should skip the exercise video phase.
I mean, I need to exercise anyway, so it would probably help.
Yeah, but marketing exercise videos. I don't know if you're the face of marketing exercise videos.
I didn't know until recently that all that money from her exercise videos actually went to, like, charitable causes.
Did you fart?
She means the dog, not me.
Dog coming in here, interrupting the podcast, farting all over the place.
Yeah, I know. Like, she burped and then, like, farted. Like, yeah. She just exploded and just came up with ends. What's going on? And now she's putting hair on us. She's like, please stop licking me. That's weird.
Also the dog. I feel like that needs to be explained. He's like, but you said I could be in the podcast.
Yes, yeah, we did.
And now you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go away. She wants my banana bread.
But, yeah, I didn't realize that, like, that went to, like, charitable causes. Like,
what does Jane Fonda need money for?
Yeah, well, exactly. But, no, but, like, I would like to, like, you know, okay, I'm going to do my artsy stuff. And in whatever way that strikes me to do, in whatever way that manifests. And I'd like to do some sort of advocacy work for social causes, for LGBT causes, for civil rights causes. I don't know how to mesh those two, though.
And still make a living.
Yeah. Therein lies my problem.
Mm.
But ideally. Ideally. If you could do anything, what would it be?
If I could do anything?
Mm-hmm. Or if you could be anything, I'm sorry.
If I could be anything, I'd be a panda.
I can't read.
I just sit.
A regular panda or a red panda?
No, a regular panda. Red pandas are like squirrely.
Uh-huh.
Well, they're not squirrely. They're raccoony, but...
Mm-hmm.
And they run around a lot and stuff like that. No. I want to be a big, fat old panda living in the bamboo forest in the mountains where nobody can find me. Just chewing on bamboo and sleeping. I'm tired. I'm so tired, boss.
Crunch, crunch, crunch. I'm sorry. Was that a Queen Mom reference?
It was.
Okay.
But... No, I mean, in all seriousness...
I mean, people are ugly, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no people. No people. No, but I think, in all seriousness, I would like to be some sort of researcher. Like, genealogical research, historical research, research. But again, getting paid for that.
So basically,
and having the means to do it is
putting that master's degree to work in some fashion. Put some fashion that
I put my master's degree to work every day.
This is true.
I do.
I know that you do.
I berate people all the time for not understanding databases.
But no, that makes sense. Because I mean, that was your thing when you were in
school.
That's
where I should be in 10 years.
What?
Should take over corporate headquarters and make them fix the databases that I have to deal with. Chain people to their desks until they follow, whip them until they follow regular naming conventions.
And now I see the violence inherent in the system.
This is capitalism. Beat them till they learn. And then you beat them some more just so that they don't rise up. Anyway.
Right.
Sorry, I went into a dark place there. They really pissed me off about the databases, though. They're so bad. Okay. I'm done. Soapbox. Soapbox is put away.
Corporations are dumb.
Yes. If you could go back to any point in your life and do it over, what would you do?
That's a hard question. Because on the one hand, like, there's a lot of things that, like, in some ways I'm like, yeah, that was good. In other ways I'm like, but if I had done it this way, it would have been an experience that I would have liked to have. But because things went the way they went, I'm where I am vis-a-vis certain parts of my life. So that's hard.
I mean, you can't do any of this, really, because the TVA would be after you.
Yes, this is true. Nice reference. All things being equal, if I could go back and do it over again, I would have liked to come out earlier and been in college. That would have been interesting. Because of that awkward shyness, like, a lot of college was really just like, I don't know. I mean, nobody knows what they're doing. But I floundered a lot in college because I was lost and in my feels and I didn't know why. I'd like to do that over again in a more authentic fashion. If you could go back to any point in your life and do it over, what would you do?
Two things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get depression.
Okay.
I would have been with my grandmother when she died.
Mm.
And I would have gone and visited my aunt before she died.
That's fair.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's all.
Those are good answers.
Thanks again for listening to the show.
If you like what you hear so far, subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, be sure to share with your friends and family so they can enjoy as well.
This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. What advice would you give your teenage self?
Bitch or girl, just accept it. I mean, yeah. Stop worrying about what everybody else thinks. Because a lot of the problems that I ran into in my teenage years, especially in college, was trying to manage things while working within the confines of everybody else's expectations. And yeah, that's dumb. So, yeah, stop worrying about what everybody else thinks.
It's fair.
Yeah. Well, what advice would you give your teenage self?
Don't shut people out so easily. From very young, I got very good at being very hard and very closed off a lot of the times. And I feel like there's a lot of things that I wouldn't have had to struggle with if I hadn't been that way.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, not that it's easy when you're a teenager to do that. It's easier, you know, looking back to see that. But, you know.
Did I get through to you more than everybody else?
Some of the time.
Oh, yeah, no, I know I didn't always get there. Like, what are you not talking about? Tell me your secrets.
Like a dog with a bone.
Well, I was very convicted.
Just wouldn't let shit go. I finally ended up talking to you just so you'd leave me the fuck alone.
I love you. I want to know what's going on in your brain. I'm trying to bond with you. Yeah, no. But, yeah.
Sticky.
Did you say sticky?
Bonding.
Oh.
Like glue or something.
I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Okay. Sticky's not a word just throw out casually like that. But yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you did have a lot of points where you were just like, I'm like, what is going on? Something's going on. And we've talked about that before in the podcast.
Yes.
Where, like, I can tell when you're not telling me something. And I'm like...
It's a very annoying quality.
And it's not that it was always about me. It's just like, just open the fuck up. Like, something's bothering you. Get it off your chest so you can stop being irritable about it. Because clearly, like...
Yes, move on to being irritable about something else.
Yeah, God.
Okay, here's a good one. Mm-hmm. What... do you think your purpose is?
To make a fuss.
You're doing it very well.
I know. No, I think that... seriously, I think that my purpose is to...
My purpose is to create drama. Look at me.
Not drama so much, but just...
No, I said drama. Did you say trauma?
No, I said drama.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. It was just...
Sorry. Me. Sorry, my jersey... accent got in the way again.
I mean, you do create trauma too, but,
yeah,
you know.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Sorry, everyone. But no.
What is your quest?
To find the Grail.
Your quest is to find the Grail?
No.
Okay.
No, my quest is to make a fuss. Which, I mean, I would do in the process of finding the Grail, to be perfectly honest. But, no, I think that
Lancelot.
Oh, sorry, everyone, sorry. But, either you know or you don't know. Like, either you're going to get that reference or what the fuck are they talking about again? But, I think that my purpose is to draw people's attention to things that they are otherwise ignoring.
Blissfully unaware of.
Yeah. And to be perfectly honest, a lot of me making a fuss is just existing and people having to deal with that.
It's quite dramatic.
Yes, that's how I create the trauma by existing. But yeah, no, I think that that's kind of what my purpose is to try to help in a, loud, visible South Jersey kind of way.
What is a South Jersey way?
With conviction.
How is that a South Jersey
thing? It's brash. It's pressure without any fucks to give.
And that's a South Jersey thing?
Sometimes.
I have not been to this part of South Jersey.
No, well, you grew up over here on the shore.
Bitch, you are still in South Jersey.
I know. South Jersey is not a monolith, though. This is part of South Jersey. This is where I grew up. It's closer to Philly. Then, like, at some point, like, you're just in the boondocks somewhere. I know. Part of South Jersey is, like, Alabama. It's not a monolith. What do you think your purpose is?
I have no purpose. Wandering aimlessly through life, just hoping for death.
Cool. All right.
I don't know. I think right now my purpose is, you know, to raise a well-adjusted, small human. Well-adjusted and compassionate small human.
Yeah.
And, you know, mentor people and, you know, guide them. Make sure they do everything right.
See, that's your nurturing way. You like to nurture people.
Yes.
I don't guide people so much as I drag them kicking and screaming into the...
Club them over the head. When they wake up, they're tied down with their toothpicks in their eyes being indoctrinated. I guide people.
Yeah.
To the same things. But gently.
I,
without so much trauma.
I don't have the patience for that.
It's funny, you don't have the patience for that, but you have the patience for everything else.
I'm saving it up. It was that little outburst. I sprint. I'm not a distance runner.
Boy. What like a... motivates you?
What motivates me?
Nothing.
I'm tempted to say my convictions again.
Nothing. Because she's still here.
Well, what do you
I've
mean?
Tried motivating
what do,
her.
What do you mean by motivates?
You really need me to define motivation?
Well.
Really? It's gotten to that point, has it?
I mean, like.
If I define motivation, will you get some?
Motivation in just generally speaking or in a specific area? I mean.
They're open-ended questions. Half the fun is figuring out how you interpret them.
I mean, motivation, I think what motivates me is actually helping people and educating people and making and trying to make my little corner of the world better. But I don't do it the way that you do it, as we just discussed.
Mm.
But I think that's, I'm motivated by that, is trying to just make things better around me as best as I can. And yeah.
I'm motivated by zombies.
If
there are zombies behind me, that's motivation. I don't want to be a zombie.
Are we talking like Romero zombies or Zack Snyder zombies?
Well, I mean, Zack Snyder zombies, you're just
give up.
Give up. Yeah. I mean,
all right. Well, that's you live in a mall.
Oh, yay. A mall.
Like balls, anyway.
For somebody who's against capitalism.
I'm not perfect, Rachel, right?
You're a traitor to the cause.
I'm not, listen.
Robespierre would have your head.
I'm not opposed to commerce. That's a different thing.
No, I think what motivates me is the munchkin.
Yeah.
Like, I just, you know, I just want... I'm not looking for big things. I just want to do the best I can for her and for whatever little patch she's going to end up occupying. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I want her to have a safe space and to feel comfortable in her world. That's about it.
Fair enough.
What's the first thing people notice about you?
Probably my hair.
And what about your personality?
Is it my hair or my smile? Anyway, something about my face.
It can't be your smile because you've had a mask on for a year.
That's true.
I mean, now people will be like, you have no mask, so they would notice your smile.
Yeah. Well, you can tell when I'm smiling, though. I get smiley eyes. Mm. But what do people notice about me emotionally?
People who haven't seen you in a while notice your boobs first.
What the fuck happened there? Well, you see, one day I was sitting by myself and
you've got boobs. Look, right. Jenny. New boobs.
It's like what they got on the space shuttle.
They do now.
Yeah. What do people notice about me emotionally? honestly, probably my sense of humor and my sarcasm, and as far as like my personality, because again, I'm shy, and usually the first time I start talking is when I find some sort of opening to make a snide comment. Not like a shitty comment, but just like...
Yeah, and then everybody goes, the fuck? Yeah.
Yeah, like, did you notice somebody over there? I blend into the shadows. I do. I find a corner, I'm like, let me just hide. I'll go to plant, let me just...
And she pops out to make snide comments and then goes back into her little hole. Or terrible puns. She's good at that, too.
Mm. That's it. What do you, what is the first thing people notice about you physically?
I don't know. Probably my eyes. My perfect button nose.
This is true.
Probably one of those.
First thing I noticed about you was your hair, but your back was turned to me.
No, I also had hair down to my butt.
That's true. I was like, wow, that's a lot of hair. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah. And at first I was like, oh. She's attracted to my hair, but turns out she just wanted it.
No.
Yeah.
No, it was both.
Hmm.
Both is good. Ow.
Don't whine.
Don't pluck me.
I didn't. I flicked you.
Oh, that's completely different then. Fine.
Plucking is what you do to your eyebrows.
Well, you know, going back for a second, what did you notice about me physically first?
Your hair. It was in braids at the time.
It was very different hair at the time.
Different but the same.
Yeah. Why is this kid got long hair? Well, let me see. What is the first thing people notice about you emotionally?
I'm a wreck.
Okay.
No, I mean, I don't know. Because I'm like, I'm not really like... immediately funny.
Yeah, you're a slow burn to get to start dropping jokes.
Yeah, takes a while for me to start joking. I don't know, I think like probably like my matter of factness.
Mm.
Usually very blunt, very frank with people.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't win me a lot of friends.
No, I gotcha. Yeah,
yeah, but yeah,
I think you know what, it's one of the first things I really keyed in about you is like, and again, it goes back to like the nurturing thing. It's like, oh, she's sensitive.
But I'm sensitive.
But you gotta look past the kind of shield that you have up. It's hard if you're not paying attention.
I have no emotions. I try very, very hard not to have any emotions. Well, how do you measure success?
Winning.
Tiger's blood.
I think success is knowing that you did everything that you could, to the best of your ability to make things better. And whether you succeed or not, the fact that you tried, and that was your goal. That's successful. That's what success looks like.
Okay.
How do you measure success?
My own happiness and the happiness of people around me. Whether something is like a great material success or not, you know, if it makes the people I love happy, or makes me happy, if it sparks joy, then it's a success.
Okay.
Lightning round.
Okay. Now, with this, are you just going to run through the questions? Okay.
Lightning round.
Okay.
Okay. So this is the James Lipton Inside the Actor's Studio questionnaire, which is actually not his, but I forget where he took it from. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite word?
Fuck.
What is your least favorite word?
No.
What turns you on?
Many things. I don't know how to explain that. Intimacy.
What turns you off?
Arrogance.
What sound or noise do you love?
The munchkin giggling when I tickle her.
What sound or noise do you hate?
Donald Trump's voice.
What is your favorite curse word?
Fuck.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Acting.
What profession would you not like to do?
Being a cop.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Welcome back. You did a good job. Did you have fun? Good. Come on in. Your mom's waiting for you. Yeah. Okay. Now it's your turn. What is your favorite word?
Love.
What is your least favorite word?
Dude.
Didn't I know that? What turns you on?
Intelligence.
What turns you off?
Willful ignorance. Mm.
What sound or noise do you love?
There are so many. Birds.
What sound or noise do you hate?
The munchkin crying. Mm.
What is your favorite curse word?
Cunt.
You do use that quite often, you're right. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I wrote these down, you'd think I would have studied. Veterinarian.
Interesting. What profession would you not like to do?
Telemarketing.
If heaven exists, what do you want to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Well, I feel like if God is greeting me personally, then I'm a pretty important person at that point. Oh, thank God you're here. Your grandmother's been tearing up the place.
Fair enough.
And she would too.
Yeah. Oh, it's delightful.
That's yeah. Why she lived so long. Nobody was ready for that.
Just keep her there. Just keep her there. Just keep her there, please. Oh. Oh, I loved her grandmother.
Me too.
I still don't know why she liked me so damn much. I don't know what it was. Anyway.
Love you.
I love you too.
Get out. Jeez. So now we've practiced.
Mm. Wait, are they going to ask me the James Lipton question at a job interview? What?
Maybe.
Is that what we're doing now? Okay.
You don't know.
If I ever get in a position where I'm doing an interview now, I am actually going to do that.
Yeah, I actually don't think any of these are... You might have a problem with the turns you on and turns you off thing as far as HR goes.
Fine. Depends on what I'm interviewing for.
Hmm. I don't want to know. Anyway, so we thought this would be just a little fun exercise into, you know, our existential lives. So there you have it. We learned some things.
Yeah. Veterinarian does make sense.
I like Dr. Pohl.
You do like Dr. Pohl.
And Dr. Oakley. I watch all kind of vet shows.
You watch them so much that you can actually correctly diagnose what's going on before they say it on the show.
That is true. Mm.
You're doing like a little happy fidget. You're like, yeah, I want to be vet.
I would try it.
Yeah. Okay. I got nothing else.
Okay. So anyway, thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you very much.
And we'll be back soon with another exciting episode.
Yeah. I am Shannon.
And I am Rachel.
And this has been
Our Life in Transition. Toodles.
Bye.
Thank you again for listening to Our Life in Transition.
This show is hosted by Rachel and Shannon McDill.
Our producer and editor is Shannon McDill.
Our theme music is Seize the Day by Jens Kilsoft.
Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/olitpod. That's /OLITPOD.
Your support makes this show possible. Thank you.